You guys can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a couple comments on the public reading. I'm sure there's some practical value there in the Old Testament as to why they were and were not to eat some of these things, just from a cleanliness standpoint. Otherwise, but the real thrust of it, Jesus communicates to us in the New Testament that it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, it's what proceeds from the heart that defiles a man. And so the purpose of the Old Testament, you got to remember, many of these things, there was a physical representation, a physical picture drawn to communicate something spiritual. So this physical, in reference to the foods and that kind of stuff, was never the real thrust that God had. Like I said, I'm sure there were some practical things for the people of Israel and the time in which they lived. But the real focus, the real thrust here, is as spiritual application for us. Okay? Really about what proceeds from the heart, which does have to do a little bit with somewhat with what goes into the mind, doesn't it? Okay? That's really the thrust here of the Scripture. All right, you guys turn to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Continuing to work through 1 Corinthians. I think this is a great book. Got a lot of practical application for the church, and particularly some of the things that we encounter in our world are very similar to things that were encountered by the Corinthians in that Gentile pagan world in which they lived. So some of the challenges that we face as a congregation, that we face as individuals, same challenges that they face as individuals and same challenges that they face as a congregation. And so 1 Corinthians is a lot of growing up. 2 Corinthians is a lot of, okay, this is what this looks like as a Christian. So we're working our way through this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This morning we're just going to read verses 1 through 4. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not mere men?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do praise your great name. We're appreciative for what you've done for us through Christ. We're thankful that you've called us as saints, that we have been sanctified by your calling. We're appreciative, Father, you've given us your Spirit, that to quote your words from earlier in this book, that we have the mind of Christ. Lord, what a tremendous opportunity, what a tremendous gift that you've given to us. We're thankful that you've equipped us with not only the power that we need to be able to carry out our mission, but also the tools that are necessary to be able to get this done effectively for you. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, and be able to communicate it clearly, that we all would be motivated to grow up, to press on to what lies ahead. We ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of you know this, but I happen to be the father of four children. And I'll get to that in a second. Four kids ranging from the age of 13 to 4. And one of the things I find myself saying from time to time is, grow up. Grow up, right? There's various things that you expect at certain ages. And there's times that kids need to move on from those ages up to the next level. They need to grow up. They need to start showing some maturity. They need to be able to start standing on their own. They need to be not require so much parental involvement for things to be able to be resolved. But I find myself as a parent saying that. Well, brothers and sisters, we are all children of God, aren't we? And one of the things we find in the New Testament as we read through this, we find various times God saying, grow up. Grow up. Okay. We found out from that passage that we worked through last week, hey, the Lord has given us great things. He allowed us to have the very mind of Christ. He's given us His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, right? Even the depths of God. Everything has been opened up and made available to us. But it is entirely possible for people that have been recreated in the likeness of Jesus, who've been made as spiritual beings, to still hang on to that flesh and to still act like fleshly people instead. Paul tells these guys in Corinth, he said, "Man, I wanted to speak to you as the spiritual people. I couldn't. I had to speak to deal with you as I'm dealing with babies." Okay? And you're still fleshly. And so, exhortation here is grow up. Now, I have a couple other things I want to mention by way of introduction. I have four kids. My last kid's name, in case you didn't know it, her middle name is Enough. Okay? Not really. But it's done. Okay? Four kids, all that we could handle, right? I always figure, you know, the scripture talks about arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. That's great, right? Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. And that's great. But I always figured it'd probably be important to be able to aim the arrows that are in your hand. And so for me, four arrows seems to be plenty. And enough. And it's actually something I enjoy, the fact that my kids are getting older. I enjoy that Matthew has some maturity and that he can actually babysit the kids and do a sufficient job. And that Julie and I can sneak off by ourselves every once in a while. I like that. It's great. And, you know, tell them, grow up, and there's various levels of, you know, that you get through and you're into the next realm of bringing up your children. And I'm sure at some point that'll be done. And I'll get to kick back as a grandpa and do the grandpa thing instead of the dad thing. But, you know, there's a difference here in the church that we got to be honest about. The exhortation that God gives us in the church is to continue to be fruitful and multiply. The exhortation that God gives us within the church, we don't get to say that's enough. Okay? So what's that mean? That means if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's always going to be babies being born into the Lord's church. So that means that we're not going to get to go into the mode where everybody's all grown up and we can just relax and enjoy each other's company. Not going to work that way. It's the reality of it. Because by nature of what we do, there's always new people coming in who are babes in Christ. And they're sometimes acting fleshly. Which, oh, by the way, does give us, who are not babes anymore, to continue to grow and actually deal with them in a more mature manner than just acting like them at their level, too. So along the way, God uses this for the growth of us all. And the spiritual growth of Christians, I think, really does parallel a lot the physical growth of children. You look at 1 John. 1 John talks about he writes to the children. He writes to the young men. He writes to the fathers. There's a parallel here. And babies, by nature, they long for their milk, don't they? Scripture tells babes in Christ long for the pure milk of the Word. They're hungry for that. They're thirsty. Babies that, before they are able to communicate, they're hungry, they're going to cry and let you know they're hungry. Well, babies in Christ long for the pure milk of the Word. I'm thankful to hear that Brother Clint has been working hard in the New Testament since he was immersed into Christ in April. That's awesome. That's the pure milk of the Word, right? Now he's moving up a little bit, getting into some of the, you know, the crackers and the stuff. You got to be careful not to choke on it going, but it's not going to choke you to death if it gets caught a little either. You know, Exodus isn't, you know, he's not going to choke on that, right? Somewhere down the road, and I know Clint's progressing quick, but just using him as an example, you know, you get into Jeremiah or Isaiah or maybe some of the minor prophets, which I think Mr. Simpson's been working through on Lords and Mornings. That's a little heavier duty stuff. You got to have more of a grasp on everything. You move from that milk to simple foods to, you know, high school boys got to eat lots, right? And the reality of it is, I'm going to skip the middle age years because I haven't figured out the parallel as far as the food goes here. But you know, the end, you notice people, older people, really older people, and they start not being able to eat, not being able to keep their food down, they start getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. You know they're on their way out. Okay. Probably that's a problem. If any of us ever think we got this down and we quit eating, okay, you're on your way out. So those are some things by way of introduction. So today I want to particularly work on growing up. And I'm going to work in three arenas here. I think is practical. We got to grow up in our thinking. We got to grow up in our speech. And we got to grow up in our behavior and the things that we do. Grow up in our thinking. You know, there's a word that shows up quite often in the Scriptures. It's a pretty key word. A lot of people like to gloss over it or ignore it. And Felicia? Is Felicia in here? I want Felicia to go back through these markers again for me like you did last week and throw away the ones that aren't working. Okay? Repent. Repent is a word that's used in the Scriptures a lot, isn't it? Matter of fact, nobody can be saved without repentance. Hey, what's repent mean? It means change your thinking, doesn't it? Metanoia. Change the mind. A change in thinking that results in a change in action. Now, brothers and sisters, one thing you notice, though, if you've been ingesting the pure milk of the Word, repent is not used only in reference to non-Christians prior to salvation. Repentance is a theme that continues and is used in reference to Christians as well. You guys remember Revelation chapter 3? A lot of this written to the church at Laodicea. This church is it's a congregation that's lukewarm, aren't they? Okay? God says, I would that you were hot or you were cold. I don't like you lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. But one of the things he says there, the solution is be zealous therefore and repent. Change your thinking. Okay? Get it right. Now, any of us ever done any sort of work to change our thinking knows that it's work. There's a reason people kind of rebel against that. There's a reason you Bible study with people, it gets to a point where there's something called change. Right? And they, as soon as they figure out, I've got to change something. And some people figure that out in various stages. You can see it, you know, in one form or another, those the claws of the fleshly man comes out. Right? Don't want to change. People are resistant to change. And things, even though they know they should, work. It takes work. Well, Scripture says, be zealous. You got to have a fire in you or this isn't going to happen. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You got to change your thinking. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 23. The reason I wanted to start here on the thinking is that everything else flows from this. Actually, the point we made in the New Testament application of the point that we made there from the public reading, what proceeds from the heart proceeds from within me, and this defiles the man. That has to do with your thinking. Okay, so things flow from that. Proverbs 23, verse 7. There's a key phrase. We use it quite a bit. And it's actually a good scriptural point. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As he thinks within himself, so he is. For any real change to take place, a change got to take place in the thinking. As a person thinks within himself, so he is. You guys know me well enough to know one of my favorite lines in reference to repentance. If you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. So let's put this in the context of 1 Corinthians 3. There's a little bit of jealousy and strife. A little bit of family feuding going on, right? In Corinth. That's the context of that. Hey, brethren, it's possible. It's entirely possible. Matter of fact, it's probable. The fact that we continue to go and make disciples and get new people, there's going to be some of that happens in this congregation. It's the reality of it. So, if you find yourself in the middle of that, the question you got to ask yourself If you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. Is that what I want? I am convinced some people like to fight. I tried to help people out with marriages and that kind of stuff. Some people aren't happy, and I use that word with quotations, you know, and unless they're fighting, unless there's chaos, unless that's not the way the Lord wants His church to operate. Matter of fact, we remember from chapter 1, the prayer is that we would all agree, right? There'd be no division among us. So we ought to work our way through this. It's going to take some change to get something different than what we've been getting. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature. Sometimes people get a mentality that what God wants, you know, and I've heard people pull out of context what Jesus talks about kids in Matthew 18. What God wants is people that will just kind of blindly follow and you just don't think. That's not what God's looking for. Matter of fact, I'm going to interject something here. I'm a detour, so come back with me. The song that Kevin was talking about that we changed the words today. Hey, you ask me how I know He lives. The song says He lives within my heart. Does Jesus dwell in the hearts of Christians? Yes, He does. Is that how we know, though, that Jesus lives? No, that's not how we know. A lot of people flip this around and they're looking at things experientially. I know because of what X experiences. But that's not the way that God operates. God says, come, let us reason together. God's Word, we can prove that that is true. That that is His Word. Any of us that are honest, we recognize sometimes our feelings are off course. Sometimes our feelings misrepresent actuality. God's Word never misrepresents. And so, you ask me how I know He lives, because the Bible tells me so. There's a reason we change that. That's how we know. Those feelings come as a result of that. So I took a detour and I lost myself along the way. Hope you guys knew where I was going. But, God wants us to grow up in our thinking, doesn't He? He doesn't want us to just, okay, whatever I feel like. No. Be babes in reference to evil, but in our thinking we need to be mature. We need to grow up. So, how's our thinking changed? Maybe to answer that question, we have to ask, how is our thinking that we have, how have we come to this point in our life where we think the way that we do? It probably has a lot to do with your environment, what you grew up in, what you were taught, what you saw, what you heard. Maybe things that you've done that have reinforced that level of thinking. So, to change our thinking, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to go back. I'm not preaching today on how a person becomes a Christian, because a lot of that's where this starts. Thankfully, Clint brought that into his Lord's Supper meditation. That's the brand new start. That's the chains being gone. We come through those waters and we start fresh. But we got to change our thinking. How is that going to take place? It's going to be a lot in reference to what we hear, what we read, what we see, what we're taught. Okay? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so sometimes we got to stop and ask ourselves, how much time do we devote to the Scriptures in comparison to everything else that we think about, that we read about, that we watch, etc. Right? We got to be honest about this, because the world's pressure and trying to get us to think a certain way. We got to come back to this. I don't care what source of news you got, unless it's this, it's going to have some warp to it. You're going to get some untruths out there. And you can take that any direction you want. We got to come back to the Scriptures to change our thinking. In Hebrews chapter 5, and the Holy Spirit there really works on Christians, says that by this time you guys ought to be teachers. and you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles, the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. He says, grow up. And that's my exhortation. That's what he's challenging him. Come on, let's press on to maturity, he's going to say in chapter 6. Let's grow up. Let's think. Let's move up a level. I want to throw something in here too about our assembly of the saints. You know, some of the things that we're taught. Brother, the assembly of the saints is not designed for entertainment purposes. There are a lot of churches that's what it's designed for. And people will put money in the plate as it comes around to continue to enjoy the show. Sometimes the assembly of the saints is work. You got to think. Sometimes it stretches your brains a little bit. Sometimes you come to adult class and minor prophets and you say, wow, I think maybe I caught, 10% of what Kevin was talking about. 10% is a good start. I don't know. I haven't been sitting in it lately. I'm just know by experience. You teach things that are at this level. If I'm at this level, this is all I'm going to get. Okay. It's opportunity to get a hold of that and to start growing. Yeah, I've had people assemble with us before and say, I didn't feel energized by your worship service. I felt worn out. I'm not preaching today on worship. Okay? But, brethren, we don't come here to worship. We worship God in spirit and truth. We come here to actually get trained. Sometimes this is a practice. You know, it's like a kid going home from basketball practice telling mom and dad, I didn't get energized by basketball practice today. I got a little worn out. Oh, that's probably good. Probably getting you ready for game day, right? So we gotta understand the Lord's purpose for the assembly of the saints is different than the way the world has sold it. One of the primary purposes, you think about it. You come here today. And let's say you just hit the regular assembly. Let's say you missed the class. Okay? Which, grow up if you missed the class. Okay? But let's say you think about it. You get, by the time you get stewardship, Lord's Supper, public reading, and the preaching, you got close to an hour's worth of preaching and teaching. Most people, can't sit through a TV show without getting antsy. See? And that's designed for their entertainment. What's one of the purposes of the assembly? To get us to grow up. God's working on us, changing our thinking. See? So it's not a bad thing. It's something you got to learn. See? The Lord's teaching us this. God wants us not to be. He doesn't want us to be people of short attention span. You know, back in the days that Alexander Campbell and those guys would debate, this thing would go on for 7 hours at a time. People sat there and got into it, And we have a hard time staying awake for a 40-minute message. We got to grow up in our thinking. Romans 12, verse 2, we know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that take place, brother? Bible reading, memorization, prayer, right? These are the ways that our mind, we change the way that we think. And prayer, I want to throw this in there too. If you come back and you speak things into existence, or you speak things that you've learned, and you come back and you have to rephrase and bring them back out, that drives that deep down into your thinking, doesn't it? If you just sit there, take it in, you guys can be honest. Raise your hand if this has ever happened to you. Happens to me less now than it used to, but every once in a while, I catch it happening now, and I used to catch it a lot. You read something in the Bible, and you get done, and you say, what did I just read? It's like somewhere there, my eyes were still reading, but my mind took a little rest. That happens. We saw a lot of hands go up. So we gotta be able to. You have communication. Take it. Be able to say, this is what we were just talking about. And you come back and you express that, you're getting it. Hey, that's one of the purposes of prayer, by the way. So, we need to grow up in our thinking. Hey, spend a lot of time on that. How about our speech? Jesus says that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Actually, there's a key point I want to make, so we're going to turn here. Matthew chapter 12. See, I like the way God has some practical things built in because it's easy for us to kid ourselves. I can say, yeah, my thinking's great. I have perfect thinking. I didn't have any evil thoughts this last week or anything, well, let's follow you around with a tape recorder for a week. Let's turn that in. Because this will let us know at some point what our thoughts are. Okay? Now, not always. The man back there in Proverbs 23, he was thinking something different than what he was saying. Okay? But at some point, your words will expose what you're thinking. That's what Jesus deals with in Matthew 12 here in verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what's good? The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. Did you hear that? Day of judgment, you're going to be judged for your words. You know, people are dumb. You ever notice this? I'm serious. People text stuff and forget that text at any time can be used against them. People email stuff and forget. People call and leave messages on phones and forget that's there. That's recorded. People are really dumb. You know what? Doesn't matter if you're smarter than that and you don't do any of that. Jesus got it all recorded. He's going to be able to pull up any of that. And so there's an exhortation from us to us here. Every careless word that people speak, they're going to render account for it in the day of judgment. Brother, the exhortation is we got to get this mouth under control. So a lot of problems in the church take place. A lot of fighting and feuding that takes place within a family comes because somebody said something they shouldn't have had and oughtn't have said. That's true in the church as well, right? And so, Scripture exhorts us, get this tongue under control. James chapter 3, for the sake of time, I was going to read a bunch of it. You guys can go and read it. James chapter 3. But here's the exhortation. The tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It steers the very course of your life. Your words, the things that you say, impact the future of your life. Got to understand that. So the things that you say today are going to be borne out in your life down the road. Pretty important that you hold in check. You think about, you put some pressure there on that rudder. Get that tongue under control. Oh, and something else. The words that you say impact other people's lives. A huge forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You think the Lord's interested in the church getting our mouths under control? Okay. Impacts not only our spiritual lives, but the lives of others around us. Let's go to Proverbs 26. I'm going to hit two more, and I'm just going to quick. The actions have a tendency to follow the things that we think and say, so I'm going to speed through that and work on what our actions should be. I'm going to hit two more passages here on the mouth. Proverbs 26. Start at verse 17. It's just a fun one to start with. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. My son Caleb has a tendency to be really interested in what's right and wrong and making sure that everybody else is doing what's right and wrong. And sometimes he sets himself up as the policeman a little bit. And so this is something we've talked about, son. That's okay within a certain setting, but you go in, you go into somebody else's business and you start trying to straighten them out. It'd be like going to a dog you don't know and grabbing him by the ears. What's going to happen? You're going to get bit. Okay? So, mind your own business. Hey, what the Scripture's saying here. Hey, unless you want to get bit. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? I'm going to preach on this for a second. Okay? A lot of people that use humor to get away with being rude. That's the truth of the matter. Okay? And then they say, oh, I was just joking around. Baloney. Okay? You be careful with your humor. Okay? Scripture says you got to watch that jesting, right? Okay? Because you say stuff that's rude, and then you say, well, I was just joking around. That was still hurtful. Okay? And some people get real good at using it, humor, to say what they wanted to say and then not be able to have to take responsibility for it. Scripture paints a picture, a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. That's the way you want to be? Crazy guy going around inflicting harm on everybody else? Okay. Be careful with humor. Very careful. All right, verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. If there's conflict, sometimes the best thing to do is just zip it. Shut your mouth. And these things have a tendency to work their way out. Sometimes it's the best thing to do. You don't need to revile in return. When suffering, you don't need to utter any threats. You just entrust yourself to the one who judges righteously and zip it. Okay? Growing up, right? This is easy stuff to say, talk about, preach about. A little tougher stuff to do. Grow up. Grow up, grow up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it may give grace to those who hear. In other words, use your words to build up. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right? Even mom got that one right. Okay? Words are to be used for edification. All right. Grow up in our thinking. That does relay directly into our speech, because the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Okay? Grow up on our speaking. Okay? And Jesus also talks about us being judged for what we do, doesn't he? In Revelation chapter 20, those books are open. Okay? We're judged according to our deeds. Okay? They're all related. But our doing. I just want to key in on this morning. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. What's our mission? Go. Make disciples. Let's make this simple. Make disciples. Okay. This is... God knows what He's doing here. Okay. To help us grow up. When I was younger, I was... a few things I'm not proud of. I was a little bit of a tattletale myself. Okay, I was a lot of a tattletale myself. And I was a crybaby. Okay. I was a wimp. I was a wimp. I was a crybaby. I was about 12 years old. My dad was sick and tired of it. You know, basically, grow up, boy. And get tough. And I'm thankful for the way that God has things in our lives. You start doing stuff. You know, at 15 years old, you're going to be driving, right? Before that, you get a few jobs. Bosses don't always treat you perfectly. You don't get a chance to be a crybaby. And keep your job. Hey, you gotta take it like a man. Hey, you grow up through stuff. You stick your neck out a little bit, you have no choice but to grow up. I like the way God has this set up. I was saying before, Matthew does some babysitting for us now, the rest of the kids. Well, that's awesome. But one thing you find out, if you're going to be in charge... when mom and dad are gone, you have to act in a mature manner at other times, or the other kids have no respect for you. If you're going to be the boss, you got to act more mature than them all the rest of the time too, don't you? Now let's think about this, guys, in relationship to what God has us doing as our mission. We go, we make disciples. What are we dealing with? Dealing with babies. Okay? What if we act the same way they do? How long are we going to be able to disciple? How far? You see what God's progression is here? You out there, you start working on other people, you got no choice but to grow up. Okay? So the solution is, let's do what we're supposed to do. Okay? Let's go do that. Along the way, if you want to be effective, you'll grow up. Let's close with Matthew chapter 24. I think a few people are content to be the baby of the family for the rest of their lives. You know, you get a 5-year-old boy who likes a little lovey-dovey attention from his mom. That's cute. 15, it's kind of cute. 25, it ain't so cute anymore when he's still expecting mom to, you know, cook his breakfast for him and do his laundry. That isn't so cute anymore. Okay? Grow up, right? Well, God wants us to grow up. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Friend, one of the best ways to grow up in what we do is to go make disciples. When we do that, you will take some personal responsibility. Okay, you should feel that for how they're doing. Okay? And one of the things it forces you to do, give them their food at the proper times. The baby's crying, right? Need some milk. Give the baby some milk. Blessed is that one whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Getting in little, you know, arguments in the church doesn't help anybody make it to heaven. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it really addresses that issue. These guys are saying, I'm of Paul. Why are they saying that? Because they're looking for something to fight about and their mouth's running wild. Okay? Let's grow up in our thinking. Let's grow up on our speech. Let's get that mouth under control. And along the way, let's be doing what the Lord wants us to do. Okay? Helps other people grow and we grow in the process. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do praise you and thank you that you are God. We're appreciative for your word. We're appreciative for all the blessings that you give us through Christ. We're thankful for the exhortation that you want us to grow up. Lord, your desire is for us to grow up to be just like you. And that's what our heart desires. We want to be just like our Heavenly Father. We do desire your holiness. And so we're thankful for the discipline that you give to us. We're thankful for the opportunities that you give us, that even the challenges that come up, even the situations sometimes that are difficult, we got to work our way through. It's never fun in the moment. But we're thankful that these things come up because they help us to grow. And our relationship with each other and with you is a lot stronger on the other side. So Lord, help us to, as a congregation, continue to keep our focus on the things that are important, seeking and saving the lost. And along the way, each of us individually continue to grow up so that we can be effective in this purpose for which you've called us. But we do want your name to be glorified. We want your name to be upheld among the nations. To you be the praise and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus.